Christmas! Woo! Break it down!
And there we go, episode number 6 of Wrestling Mania. Finally, guys! Finally! Finally! You with me, guys?
What do you want us to do? Hey,
finally!
I don't know, just say something!
It's okay.
The Wrestling Mania guys have come back to the microphone!
It's only been how many months?
Eight months.
8 months,
eight
wow.
Eight long, rough months.
Long, lonely months for all of our listeners.
Where no one knew what to do.
Exactly.
When they were watching Raw.
Like, what the hell? We need some clever commentary. We need Ferg's impressions. We need Joe's sardonic take on indie wrestling. We need
Connor. Connor likes this guy. I don't know if I should like him.
Yeah. It's like,
what if I turn out I like him and then Connor hates him?
What if Connor hates the Wyatt family?
I mean, you know, where are they going to go? PWI, Wrestler Observer Newsletter,
it's
Bleacher
ridiculous.
Report?
The kids don't want to listen to Dave Meltzer anymore. Dave Meltzer had his time.
And no one knows how to read anymore.
Yeah, nobody knows how to read.
So we're back. It's WrestleMania, and this is our best of 2013 show after missing 8 months.
Missing most of 2013. Missing eight out of the 12 months.
We had to do a lot of research.
Yeah.
We called a lot of research, yeah. So.
Well, we have been watching stuff. I mean,
we have been watching.
Connor and I went to the TNA pay-per-view Slammiversary earlier in the year, and Connor and Joe and sometime podcast member Jordan all went to Survivor Series.
That's right. And my favorite bartender, Dickie, was also there.
Dickie was there, but we didn't see him. I guess he was avoiding us. Maybe he saw us, but then he was behind one of the pillars at the TV garden.
Most likely.
Yep. Yeah, so. I know. My buddy's through theater. Nate Speckman as well does a lot of catering, and apparently he gets to see wrestling events as well
the
as our old
voice.
Pal.
That was my thespian impression.
Voice. That's an opera singer.
Whatever.
Anyways, let's get right into this. We've got a bunch of categories here. We're just gonna list off our favorites of the year. Starting off with this one: Tag Team of the Year, Joe. Start
hey,
us up.
How are you? So my tag team of the year I'm going with is basically something that everyone wanted to see. More so they wanted to see them fight each other, but they're finally partnering them up, which is Goldust and Cody Rhodes, which I thought was really cool that they brought them out. I hope by Mania one of them turns on the other one.
Didn't we do a book 'em segment or book 'em to the top where I said, hey, wouldn't it be cool if they partnered up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me, guys. Yeah.
That was you.
Well,
that
clearly the higher ups are listening.
We've got a lot of pull.
I think it's good too that Goldust came back and he's not just doing 100% of the old stuff. Like he does like that modified Canadian Destroyer thing now. He does like a modified Hurricane Rana thing or Frankenstein, or I don't want to get punched.
Yeah.
he came back and he came back with some new stuff, and he's not just, you know, coming out and just winging it and
that's,
being
that's
like,
that's always
yeah.
good whenever
he's
a guy all, comes back.
He, yeah,
listen, if Joe got the name of that move wrong, if you're upset about that, we want you to contact us because then we'll know that people are listening.
Especially if you're angry about it, we're going to give you Joe's home address.
Nowhere not.
Which is also Steiner Adam's Kleiner home address.
So,
just
yeah,
make sure you go to the right door.
Yeah.
The right bedroom.
Don't get one of their roommates that has no idea what we're talking about.
No, they're lovers. Which what are you talking about? Yeah. They're lovers who sleep in separate bedrooms for some reason.
Hey, very 1950s.
You know, Joe generates a lot of heat, and you know, makes it tough for me to sleep.
I'm the human furnace.
All right, Adam, what did you have for your tag team
of the
year?
Speaking of the other kind of tag teaming, I can't really disagree with that, you know. I would pick that as well. I mean, I know the primetime players had memorable segments for all the wrong reasons, like, Titus O'Neil throwing up in the cowboy hat. But
was Rufus Pancake Patterson 2013 or was it end of 2012?
No, it was 2013.
That's definitely, because we talked about
that
it.
That is probably one of my favorite characters or gimmicks that I've ever seen in the history of professional wrestling. It's just the guy pretending to be some other guy's uncle. With an Afro wig calling himself Pancake.
I know nothing about pretending to be somebody's uncle.
That's redonkulous.
You know, the Shield though had a good year, and I think we were all worried. They need somebody to be able to feud with at their level, and definitely the division, like after the breakup of Daniel Bryan and Kane, it was a big question of what's going to happen. Then Goldust makes this really memorable appearance at the Royal Rumble. I know we all marked the fuck out when his music hit, and it's great to have him back and see that he can still perform at a high level, and definitely I think it will, or it should, eventually lead to a Rhodes Brothers feud. I mean, I think it's been a great face run for Cody Rhodes. Like, I remember he got a great reaction at Money in the Bank, and I was like, man, if they're smart, they're gonna push him as a face.
I thought he was gonna win the Money in the Bank. I really did. That's an exclamation point.
Yeah. I think they're doing great things, and it'll be interesting to see where.
It would be kind of cool in a way. If they somehow got Dusty involved, like they did earlier, if they did, with the feud between them, I can't pick which one of my sons. I just hope they don't get Terry Runnels
the
involved.
The McMahons and the Rhodes have been.
I don't think they're going to get Terry Runnels involved. They're not going to get Terry Dustin's ex-wife.
Terry's not going to be
the
there.
The reason why Dusty and Dustin were estranged for 20 years.
Okay, fine. The Can they get at least get Meat involved?
Sean Stasiak.
I'm sure he's not doing anything.
Sean Stasiak might have to take a week off at the Gold's Gym down in Alpharetta, Georgia, but
I think he can find the time.
All right, next category, we got Newcomer of the Year. Connor, going to you.
All right, so I tried to go with, I was thinking picks that nobody else would pick Newcomer of the
Year. You're going really obscure.
I am going with TNA Wrestling.
Oh, that's pretty obscure.
I think so, because I kind of just wanted to make things interesting, because I think it would be kind of boring if we agreed the whole show. I'm going to go with Ethan Carter III as my Newcomer of the Year, and technically The Shield did debut in 2012. EC3, I think it's the type of thing TNA should do. They pick a guy that's like a low-level prospect that was released by WWE. Nobody really thought of, like, Derek Bateman, I thought like he could have been like a fine like comedy mid-carder. But they've like transformed him, and he definitely looks like a star in like the
He's up there with Jason Bateman.
He's up there with Jason Bateman. But yeah,
I'm really struggling to remember.
I thought you were referring to the American Psycho gimmick that TNA's got going, but nobody else here watches TNA.
Sorry.
But, EC3, he's a good prospect. It's just taking somebody that was off the scrap heap from WWE and doing more with him than Vince McMahon's been doing. And that's what TNA has to do, since they can't just sign.
That's what TNA used to do in the early years. That's what they did better than anybody. And that's what they did better than WWE specifically. And that's why I watched them. After a while, they ended up becoming the WCW, getting the old guys, and not even necessarily the good old guys. And they're just rehashing things. And the guys that were once the promising stars are now veterans, Samoa Joe, and they're just being pushed to the back. But that's another topic for another time. Joe, who do you have?
I have, he's not 100% a newcomer, but he's been repackaged, which is Bray Wyatt. Because when he was Husky Harris, I don't think they really let him do much, or he just wasn't at the point where he could do anything yet. As far as, like, he didn't have mic skills, and he had some in-ring skills.
He always had some innovative moves.
Yeah, he wrestles like a small Vader.
Yeah.
It looks really like intense, and he does some weird like brawling kind of stuff.
No,
but it's
FCW,
different than everyone else is doing.
Didn't he do a masked gimmick for a while between that and Bray Wyatt?
Yeah, he was Axel Rotunda, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that, because they just throw the name Axel around now to all the second and third generation wrestlers.
I think he's been able to, luckily, one thing that I was worried about because I watched when the Bray Wyatt thing was starting in NXT, like a lot of the, creepy promos I would see, I thought, man, like, this guy is going to be good and interesting when they bring him up, which hopefully they will, and they obviously did. But like then I thought, well, I hope he doesn't get a lot of like Husky Harris chants, like when Albert came back as Tenzai, like every time he comes out now, Albert, But, you know, I thought, well, I mean, Husky Harris wasn't around for that long, but it did happen a little bit, you know, but I mean, luckily he's been a talented enough guy that he's been able to overcome it. But I think
if you've got the talent, you can overcome it. I mean, I don't think anybody's chanting to Kane now any of Christmas
Isaac Yankum.
Isaac Yankum, Christmas
Isaac
creature.
Yankum.
Yeah. But I think it's something that they should be careful of, especially if they're trying to, you know, build talent, you know, particularly in this era where you can go back on YouTube and watch just about any old thing, you know, try to think of something that's not going to be embarrassing for them later.
Look it up on Wrestlepedia or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a website.
I think there is a Wrestlepedia.
Really?
It's finally working out because me and my old roommate and his little brother were just massive secret Waylon Mercy fans. Just that whole gimmick of like the creepy, nice guy, creepy, nice southern guy
that's also a murderer.
And we always liked Waylon Mercy, and like when he started to get his little bit of a push and he was going up against Bret Hart and stuff, we're like, this guy's awesome. We're like junior high. We're like, this guy's amazing. And this guy should go right to the top. And then they did nothing with him and they got rid of him.
His character
finally bringing it back.
His character was based on the dude from Cape Fear.
Yeah, the remake specifically.
Yeah, Max Cady.
Max Cady from the remake more than the original.
Yeah, the Robert De Niro one.
Waylon Mercy also had a fucked up back. That was too. I think it was partially injury, partly because WWF in the mid-90s was such a cluster.
Yeah.
Cluster hump?
Cluster hump.
Is that what you're going to
say? I just said fuck before, and I'm going to
and all those other guys that they brought out to face the Undertaker, and then they just kind of let fizzle.
It's too bad at the time that they didn't reunite Waylon Mercy, who is Dan Spivey, and Sid, and they're like gimmick Psycho Sid and Waylon Mercy as a tag team, and like a like a weird Skyscrapers reunion. That would have been something. I think me and Joe.
No,
Timmons
wasn't
like
Mark Callis? wasn't he one of the replacements?
Skyscrapers. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been a formidable. Three-man tag.
Old mean Mark Callis.
Yeah.
All guys above 6'8", bad knees.
Rednecks.
Yeah. Rednecks.
All right, next on our list, we've got news story of the year. Now, let me just make sure we clarify this. This is like stuff that's outside of the ring.
Outside the ring news story, yeah.
This is stuff for the smarts.
This is, as Vince Russo would say, this is a shoot. Like, we're going off script, as they said at New Blood Rising.
This is the kind of stuff that you used to have to call Mean Gene Okerlund on the hotline for.
This wasn't booked in advance. We are shooting.
Find out why Ultimate Warrior is in the WWF doghouse.
If you want to shoot, JR, let's fucking shoot.
All right, who have doing these? Adam, your news story of the year.
Well, in terms of, like, backstage news stuff, I don't think anything has been bigger than the whole AJ Michelle Beadle thing. Because that seemed to... I don't even know if that whole story has coalesced. It seems like every side has a, you know, different... So it's like a Rashomon situation where everybody seems to think something different happened. Like, my understanding of it is, basically, for those of you who don't know, Michelle Beadle, I guess, was doing some kind of backstage segment with CM Punk, and then AJ came out. They're old pals, right? Yeah. You know, and AJ apparently was, like, upset at her disrespectful tone, came out and, like, bawled her out and yelled at her. And apparently the officials were upset. I guess AJ's side of the story is, well, I was told... that this was going to be classy. thank you, Brett.
Sorry, did I derail you?
It just has a lot of gas and is better than coming out his ass.
You are a rapist.
Well, you know, it's going to stink up the studio. it's not very well ventilated in here.
He's a gang rapist.
A one-man gang rapist.
Anyway, Akeem the African dream rapist.
Jabs old bro. Jabs old bro. Anyway. That was very slick, Connor.
Oh. Well,
we can't stop.
Hey, well, you should just take it away, big boss man, and get back to what you were saying.
Yeah. But I digress. So, yeah, I guess AJ's side of the story was that apparently she was told it was going to be some kind of backstage segment and to, you know, be like, you know, her crazy chick AJ character, but then apparently...
She thought it was going to be part of a bit.
Yeah, and then, but apparently when that happened, you know, everybody was... I guess, like, nobody told Michelle Beadle or something, and, you know, there was some kind of miscommunication snafu, And so everybody was like, was mad at her, I
guys,
guess.
Guys, can we just chalk this up to chicks?
Bitches being bitches.
Bitches yeah. be bitches.
Bitches be crazy.
Yeah, bitches be crazy.
I'm sure that's what Vince and Pat Patterson thought.
Bitches be crazy. That's my Vince.
Yeah.
well, Pat. Punk apparently was upset and said something on Twitter that kind of alluded to it, like he wasn't very happy with the way they handled it.
He's kind of been upset ever since. He's been bitching on Twitter like yeah. stuff.
Mm-hmm. He's been bitching about a lot of stuff over the years. Let's face it.
I mean, he's in my top five dead or alive, but he's definitely a grouser.
He's
you know,
a surly personality.
Grouser.
He is.
Haven't heard that term.
Michael P.S. Hayes called him a moody prick. He goes, Punk can be a moody prick.
And Michael P.S. Hayes.
Yeah,
isn't.
Michael P.S. Hayes is a drunk racist.
Hey, yeah. Well, exactly. He would know.
All right, Connor. What do you have for your news story of the year?
My news story of the year is something like I feel like in the when we do the best of 2015 show, provided we're all still alive, everybody will either be laughing.
Joe won't be.
I mean, you never know.
Let's just throw that out there right
it's
now.
It's always up in the air.
When we do the best of 2015, everybody will either be laughing at me for picking this as the news story of 2013, or I'll be laughing at them for laughing at me. I think it's
okay.
I think it's WWE announcing that they were they're changing their television network from a television network, which I thought nobody thought could work because the NFL Network had a hard enough time getting clearance.
Yeah.
Like, how does WWE think they're going to get on a bunch of cable networks? So changing that to a streaming service like Netflix or Hulu Plus, I think could be very beneficial to expanding the WWE brand.
The brand. It's all about branding.
Right. And the streaming service, you know, they're planning on moving most of their pay-per-views to the streaming service.
Really?
Like a lot of the B pay-per-views?
Yeah, like a lot of the B pay-per-views. Like, they're only going to do, like, they're
going to
be like
Survivor Series.
Right.
This year.
Survivor Series. Yeah. Oh, boy, the big show in the main event. That was electric in the TD Garden that night. Oh.
This is a happening, as Gorilla Monsoon would say.
Like, I think they're going to do, like, probably four pay-per-views, I heard. Four or five pay-per-views on pay-per-view, traditional pay-per-view, and then...
Sorry, this brings up a whole nother topic. When I was borrowing a bunch of WrestleManias from you, Connor, I came up with a great drinking game.
Yeah.
If in the first, like, 10 WrestleManias, when Gorilla Monsoon is announcing, you take a shot or a drink every time he said either, this is a happening, or you can cut the electricity with a knife.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be shit-faced.
They're literally hanging
from the rafters. Yeah.
For this Butch Reed match.
You'll be shit-faced halfway through the first one.
But some of those early WrestleManias are long. I think you'd get alcohol poisoning if you did that watching WrestleMania 4.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think a streaming service, I think that's the way to go. I think everybody's pay-per-view, even UFC this year, their pay-per-views are declining. So it's the way of the future. They got to find somewhere.
Like, they're asking, what, $55 for a pay-per-view?
Yeah.
The last UFC I watched, I streamed it super illegally. And there was,
right.
I think there was, in 3 hours, I think there was about 20 to 25 minutes of actual fighting, and that's giving it, like,
in
extra.
One broken leg.
Yeah. And one broken leg.
One replica of Sid at
the only fight that went to the third round was the Ronda Rousey-Misha Tate fight. The rest of it was all done in the first round. So people pay money, and they're like, all right, now I'm going to watch replays from the prelims for free. That was on for free, and I paid $60. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with WWE pay-per-views. It's like, I mean, it was fun going to see Survivor Series, but if I had paid money just to watch that at home, you were getting like an episode of like SmackDown at best.
Right. That wasn't even it wasn't even an extended episode of Raw. It was an extended episode of SmackDown.
Like, if it hadn't been live, like, I'll go to see anything live because it's just fun to be there.
Yeah.
But if that was something that I was like, oh, I'm going to, you know, take my money and that's what I'm going to do with my, you know, $50, I'm going to buy this pay-per-view. And then, you know, 2 hours and 20 minutes or 2 hours and 15 or whatever it was after.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow. Other than Roman Reigns spearing people.
Not much there.
Not a lot happened. Like, Mark Henry came out and squashed Ryback and
Especially if it's one of the big four, like you really need to step up.
I wouldn't even say. I think this was the year where it was like pretty definite Survivor Series lost its status.
Yeah.
Like if we could officially revoke it, I think I would revoke Survivor Series status.
I just wish
it came back a little bit when Rock and Cena teamed back 2 years ago.
I just wish they went back to the original formula with the teams.
That was what worked.
That was the best match.
It was different.
That was awesome. This year,
and it didn't really play in. It didn't end feuds or begin feuds. It just kind of
and it, you could include
into
so
it.
Many guys.
Yeah.
You could have so many feuds begin, end, or just continue there, as most of them did.
Yeah.
And you could get, you know, a team of four or five, and then that's a whole crap load of wrestlers. And then also have, like, some world championship matches, too. So it's not like nothing's on the line.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, it's bragging rights. You know, you can throw in some legit good matches, too. Yeah. I don't know why they went away from that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say either Elimination Chamber or Money in the Bank definitely feels more important.
Yeah, Elimination Chamber is definitely one of the top ones now.
This brings us to Feud of the Year. Joe, what's your opinion on Feud of the Year?
If it hadn't gone the way it did with it kind of fizzling out, basically like the Daniel Bryan-Cena feud, was really good, but then he had to leave with his elbow or whatever weird Cena injury he had. And then it kind of like continued in a sense with Daniel Bryan and Orton because it was the same thing. It was like two really bland, boring guys feuding with like this up-and-coming star that everyone wants to see do well, and then they kind of screw him over.
Yeah.
So I think basically Daniel Bryan against bland wrestlers was my
feud of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think just...
So Daniel Bryan versus a paper bag
just,
is...
Yeah. I was Daniel Bryan versus the corporation or whatever they're calling the corporation now.
The authority.
The corporation... The authority.
Yeah, the authority is what they're calling it.
It was... it reminded me a lot of the CM Punk, Summer of Punk WWE version where it started out really great. Then it turned in like it ended with Triple H fighting Kevin Nash in a ladder match. How did that get from here to there?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Well, that's been kind of the problem, I think, with a lot of feuds this year, is there have been some great moments, but then just the kind of going forward, the way it's been handled has been kind of messy. Like, you know, it started, you know, like, for example, that feud started out well, you know, and definitely one of the best matches of the year. You had, you know, Daniel Bryan pin John Cena clean. And I was even fine with, you know, Randy Orton going in and cashing in. It's like, okay, good, he gets some
that
really
was a good
heel
moment,
heat.
Yeah.
You know, but then there was never any real follow-through. It's like, well, then, you know, suddenly Daniel Bryan ultimately loses out, gets screwed over, then gets stuck in this program with the Wyatts, which could, you know, go well. That's still ongoing.
Yeah.
It's hard to see what'll happen with that. And I think it's not too late to salvage this, frankly.
Yeah, I don't...
But I just think that it's like, yeah, there's been... I mean, I know it's part of the storyline as well, but still, it seems like there's a real disconnect between... In terms of Daniel Bryan, between what the crowd wants, which is clearly Daniel Bryan, and what, you know, creative wants, which apparently is
What do you
not,
have for a feud of the year?
yeah,
you smarty pants.
I don't even know. Probably, like, I guess my pick would have to be CM Punk Heyman, only because they actually finished the fucking thing out.
Yeah.
And, like, did it well. You know, I mean, Punk, I mean, they both did well with it. And, you know, Punk ultimately got his revenge. We got a, you know, hellacious CM Punk Brock Lesnar match out of it. We'll talk more about that later.
Ooh, that's a tease.
Stay tuned.
Touch that dial.
Round.
We'll be right back.
Hey, who's the boss? We'll be right back. Stick around.
And we're back.
After
Adam, you were talking about CM Punk feuding with Paul Heyman.
I certainly was, Joe.
Yeah, caller, you're on the air.
But it's like, yeah, you know, it was the opposite of stuff like the Bryan, or even more of an example, I think, of like feuds kind of dying on the vine was the Ziggler Del Rio program. And we were talking about this earlier, Brett.
Yeah, that started off really good.
Yeah, it had, you know, the great moment where he cashed in the briefcase, you know, the smarky audience went nuts.
Double turn.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. I mean, that could have been a great program, but they just like kind of job Ziggler out on TV, and now he's, you know, in the lower mid card, kind of doing his selling thing, which, I mean, he does really well, but I think is, you know, probably going to be
yeah,
you know, all he does.
When it comes to Dolph Ziggler, I almost think of a story that Scott Hall of all people had about like his early days as a job guy in like late '80s WCW, and he like talked about how he jobbed to Terry Funk one day, and like he was really good at selling the pile driver. He did a great job at putting the Funkster over, and backstage the Funkster was like, Scott, don't get too good at doing this, like, or they'll have you doing this forever.
Hey, yo. I just,
yeah, so Scott Hall just became a drunken Laos instead, and that's how he got it to the top.
Hey,
well,
Chico,
thanks, Terry Funk.
I sell for nobody. Chicas are for fun, yeah, man.
I'm going to love taking your finisher and kicking out, Terry Funk.
All right, well, we get to have some fun with this next award. This is the Create Your Own Award. We'll start with Connor. We'll start with you, actually.
Okay. So, Create Your Own Award. I'm going to my award is going to be Most Painful Injury of 2013. And I think we know where I'm going with this. I hope so. That would be X-Pac literally lacerating his anus during Jerry Lynn's retirement show in Minneapolis back in March.
Bronco busted.
He got Bronco busted. he was doing a Bronco Buster on his opponent, and apparently he overshot it, and he hit the little steel connector behind the turnbuckle and tore it up. And the funny thing about it is
broke his ass.
He literally broke his ass, and there was apparently like so much blood he almost died from his... And apparently the funny thing is, the funny thing I remember about all this is the TMZ story afterwards, they quoted his girlfriend, Ryan Shamrock. His lady friend Ryan Shamrock, and she said, yeah, it's pretty bad. Like, he literally tore his ass, and it was like, it's actually not the first time he's done this, doing the Bronco Buster, and it's like... X-Pac, why don't you stop doing the Bronco Buster? Like, the first time you tear up your ass, you think, like, that move is too risky.
You're really tearing it up out there,
now.
Kid.
That's enough.
At least we know now how many Bronco Busters you can do before you tear your asshole out. It's like one of those things, like, how many times can you put your pitch count, like, before your arm gives out?
Or a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, Tootsie Roll pop.
Joe, what do you have?
I have the, it's the... Spinal Tap Drummer Award / Doink the Clown Award.
I don't know where the hell this is going.
Meaning they take Sin Cara and he gets hurt and he goes home because he breaks his wrist within 30 seconds of the match with Del Rio.
Yeah.
And they just show how easily replaced you are if you have a mask on and how like they put all this money into Mystico and they brought him down and they brought him up. From Mexico,
yeah,
I guess, because that's the direction. Unless they went around the world and came back down to sneak up on us. But they bring Mystico up. They give him this gimmick, and they put all this time and money into it, and they have, like, dim lights when he wrestles and all this dumb shit that they do. And he gets hurt, and they're just like, well, we can take him off TV again, which we do all the time because he gets hurt all the time. Or we can just take another Mexican guy and put a mask on him and just go with it.
A Mexican guy that's a little bit chubbier than him.
And with a big tattoo that no one seemed to pick up on. And he comes back out, and Hunico did a great job.
Yeah, Hunico is a better Sin Cara.
Yeah, he's
way
better at being Sin Cara, which just shows, like, it's the same thing they did with Doink the Clown when he was like, well, I'm the only Doink the Clown in the world. Matt Bourne, the late, great Matt Bourne.
Who passed away in 2013. Which is
comes
RIP.
Out and says, that's why it's in his honor. It's the Doink the Clown. You're easily replaceable
now,
award.
Was it Steve Lombardi that replaced him?
He was one of the guys.
He did a whole bunch of different guys. I think Barry Darso did at one point.
I think you're right.
Not sure. Yeah, Steve Kern did at one point.
Yeah, Brooklyn Brawler has been the latest Doink.
Bushwhackers.
Well. He was Doink.
Mabel replaced Mo Doink.
Mabel.
Yeah. Butch and Luke.
That was done to flat out show that they like could replace him too, from what I heard.
And
not long before that.
Funny story about that match, if we can get back into the classics for a little bit. I was just reading like a Retro Wrestling Observer online, and they said the original Mr. Perfect got injured like right before the show, and he had to retire for a while. And Macho Man Randy Savage replaced him in Mr. Perfect's match versus IRS and Rick Martel and those guys. But the original plan for Macho Man at the show was to be one of the Doinks with Mabel and the Bushwhackers.
Oh, fuck.
That would have been awesome. Macho Doink.
Ooh, yeah, I got a balloon.
So I'm pretty sure he took out one of Curt Hennig's kneecaps.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, yeah, I ain't fucking dressing up like a clown. I don't know if you've seen me over the years.
The real reason that he wrote My Perfect Run, thanks for the career, buddy.
All right, Adam, what do you have?
Create your own award. Probably, yeah, I guess, you know, probably audience of the year goes to the, I mean, you know, post-WrestleMania audiences are always nuts, but that one in particular was just, like, batshit crazy. So they probably get crowd of the year award, I think.
For and all it's their... still brought up by WWE. Usually they just ignore crowds, like, when, yeah. like that, but, like, they still refer to that crowd, like, to this day, occasionally on Raw.
Chanting HBK for, like, no reason.
And... Yeah, and
yeah, during like, Sheamus and Randy Orton's boring, that was when the chants got the craziest, when they were chanting, like, you know, all of the announcers one by one.
Yeah.
First they were, like, you know, JBL, then Michael Cole, and Jerry Lawler. I think at one point they chanted, like, you know, like, we want pizza or
right,
something.
They were it's funny, Jordan was here. It's too bad he's not here because he was actually at that Raw. But
yeah.
They were just chanting for snack food vendors and, like...
yeah. They chanted, like, CM Punk during other people's matches. They of course, chanted, we want Ziggler, and he showed up, and, you know,
yeah.
And that was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the reason that for a while there was the whole... like Fandango dance craze because they were like singing and dancing to his theme, you know, the whole
it's a very good award and they've sort of
influenced WWE crowds for the rest of the year because every crowd afterwards tries to rip them off.
I created my own award. This one might be
yes.
a little bit controversial.
Uh-oh.
But I have to do it. Finally unseating Orlando Jordan for gayest wrestler of the year, Darren Young.
How does one get gayer than the last?
I don't know.
He's so much gayer.
Orlando Jordan was only
he was bi.
Bisexual,
yeah.
So Darren Young's gay. He's technically
oh, yeah, he's
gay.
Totally
yeah,
gay.
But you've seen,
yeah.
I mean, Orlando Jordan's whole shtick was like the gayest thing that ever was gay.
Yeah. He's bi. Darren
than,
Young
yeah,
is
he's
totally
married,
gay.
He made
to
out with a girl,
too,
Joe.
Yeah, he's married to a lady now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
despite coming out dressed in like police
tape, yeah, what the hell was
with
that?
With his dick wrapped up in like a stop sign or something or whatever it was he was doing.
Classic TNA.
Yeah.
crap.
Well, I think you know, despite the whole be a star thing being often very hypocritical, I think it's probably. I mean, I don't really know that it's done anything for his career, like one way or the other, other than that he sort of.
He's probably gotten a lot of dates.
Just gotten so much man ass being the first openly gay WWE wrestler.
So much man ass.
Mm.
All right, we're gonna go to more serious.
Not that there's anything
again.
Wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with man ass.
Listen, glad
this
if you're...
is a pro wrestling podcast. If we had problems with seeing man ass, we wouldn't be hosting a pro
exactly.
wrestling.
If GLAAD is upset with us at all, then they can come on the show and talk about it.
We'll be glad to talk about the Billy and Chuck wedding angle.
We're really not gay, Eric Bischoff. This is all a ruse. I don't care if it lasts for 3 years or 3 minutes. What? All right, let's move on. Match of the year. Connor, what do you have?
I'm going to go with, I think everybody else is going to pick another CM Punk match, but I'm going to pick
CM Punk.
Yeah, I'm going to pick
okay.
another CM Punk
okay.
match of the year. CM Punk versus John Cena, number one contender for the WWE title match at WrestleMania.
Ooh.
It's a very good match. It wasn't quite as good as their Money in the Bank match, but it was up in that league. It was definitely one of the best matches I've seen on free TV, probably since that 60-minute Shawn Michaels-John Cena match from in like 07, 08.
Yeah.
But it's like, I would have paid $50 to see this match, and I get it for free. It's just a cheapskate's paradise. It was just very well done. And like before the match, it was like, yeah, obviously it's going to be Cena Rock 2.
Yeah.
But during the match, it was like, it was good enough where I was almost like, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they'll do Cena. But it was good enough where like I almost doubted a very obvious result.
I mean, Punk did a pile driver, which you never fucking see on WWE TV, which they were apparently pissed at him about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I totally agree. It had a very it was most definitely the best match on Raw, and I think if you were to call it match of the year, it's definitely I'd be hard to argue. But it was.
Well, what
you know,
do you
yeah,
have?
It had a great big fight feel, and it was. Just,
what do you have, Adam, as match
three.
Of the year?
It's the third burp of the evening.
Man.
Look at Bastion Booger over here with his burping.
With that, yeah, there was, you know, as much as some of the booking decisions have been, or the follow-up has been questionable, There have been a lot of great matches this year.
That's Connor unzipping his coat, not his pants. Just so our audience at home
Connor
knows.
Connor,
we should all point out for visual purposes, I am wearing my Mr. Ass t-shirt.
You're showing off your ass, yes.
Because I've worn a Dolph Ziggler t-shirt before, I figured I should wear a shirt for Dolph's dad, Billy Gunn.
I almost wore my Macho Man shirt today.
They were both wrestling kings, Billy Gunn and Macho Man.
That's
Manny
right.
Savage.
So anyways, Adam, what do you have as your match of the year?
Kings of the Ring, you might say. Yeah, match of the year.
Speaking of Billy Gunn, we're coming up on Superstar of the Year next. So. That's another foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Big tease.
Wrestler of the Year, as one might say. Speaking of the best wrestler in the world, yeah. Yes, probably CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, I think, would be my pick. Just a lot of great intensity, great psychology. They beat the living hell out of each other. The crowd was great.
Which pay-per-view was that?
That was SummerSlam.
That was at SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah, SummerSlam.
And I forgot to include an event event of the year, but I would say SummerSlam would be the event of the year. That might have been the best SummerSlam ever.
That was a good one.
It was there wasn't really a bad match in there. I mean, I don't remember what the Divas match was.
The whole thing with Fandango and The Miz was pretty cool, too. What? Am I the only one that thought that was kind of cool?
Well, the fact that even that
was
pretty
right,
good is like marks how good of a pay-per-view that was. And that was definitely a standout of the pay-per-view. I mean, it would be great to, I don't know what the hell Brock is going to do now that he's back. Apparently he's gunning for the championship.
He's going to screech like a seagull.
He's gonna have a program with Big Show or something like that. What they're saying,
the Big Show Brock Lesnar 10-year anniversary program.
They're going to not only collapse the ring, they're going to collapse the entire arena.
Yeah,
gonna outdo ourselves.
Yeah, the nationwide arena will in Columbus, Ohio, will just implode.
Oh my God, tonight. The Staples Center just went
just crumpled.
My
I don't
God!
Know how it's still alive. The Staples Center has collapsed.
I miss JR.
Joe, what do you
it's
have?
It's time for everybody to run like skeleton dogs the hell out of here before we get crushed.
Adam stole mine, so I'm going to go with my number two.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Which was the Daniel Bryan Cena match.
Yeah.
Because, Cena can be okay if he's in a match. He's it's like a Triple H kind of thing where he needs someone good to wrestle with. Because if not, it's just like him doing dumb power moves and someone else doing dumb power moves, and they just bump into each other.
Yeah.
It's there was a Kevin Nash interview when he was talking about how people always come up to him and they're like, "Oh, we want to see you wrestle the Big Show at WrestleMania 30," and he's like, "Why? Why would anybody want to? Why would you pay to see that? It's just gonna be me and him banging into each other, and falling over." If they put Cena with someone good, like he had those good matches with Punk, and he's had good matches with Shawn Michaels, and he's had good matches with Edge and other good wrestlers, but then they
throw him in Jericho,
and then they throw him in with Orton, and it sucks because him and Orton have such a similar,
just stay on feet
planted firmly on the ground, throw punches, and then body slams and shit. It's a really boring style, but if he can do a couple power moves and then get kicked a whole bunch in the face. It looks good on TV, and I thought it was a good match. I thought it was cool that Daniel Bryan won clean. They didn't do any kind of weird shit at the end, and then Orton came out and ruined wrestling for another 6 months.
I could just as easily have picked that. I mean, it was a tough chance.
I think any of the three matches, they're interchangeable. Any of the matches we mentioned so far, there was none I disagreed with out of all of our choices.
All right, now we're up to Wrestler of the Year, and because I think we might all be on the same page, I'm going to go ahead and go first and just give you my pick, Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say Daniel Bryan.
No disagreements there?
I mean, look, It's definitely been his year. I hope he has an even better 2014 in terms of actually getting to have a run with the title,
Before the show started, Adam and I were talking about how the only person that could be like a runner-up would be maybe CM Punk because he had another big year.
I would say CM Punk as a runner-up. mostly because CM Punk's 2012 was way better than his 2013. And that's the only real reason.
Oh, definitely.
He was kind of like an upper mid card attraction this year. His matches were as good, but he was definitely in a secondary kind of like.
Yeah, I can't imagine anybody saying that somebody had a better year than Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, and it's like there's nobody else in any other promotion I can think of, like in ROH or TNA. Nobody was dominant enough in terms of like quality matches and.
I just think
power and fan support and all that.
Fan support is the biggest thing for
me. Support, I think, yeah.
Now, if they would actually listen more to the fans, right. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's part of a ploy. Maybe they're trying to really milk it, you know, because you don't want to give the fans exactly what they want from the get-go.
Yeah.
You know, you got to make them earn it and stuff. Maybe that's what they're doing. I just hope it happens eventually before he turns, you know, 45.
I mean, you know, like I said, I had no problem with the cash-in at the end of SummerSlam, like that happening. I think, you know, it got Randy Orton good heel heat, which was good, and I think that just the way that the program was handled after that was kind of, where first they put the title into abeyance, as Triple H called it, and then he just never really got, you know, he never got his payback, so hopefully they will rectify that, you know, by WrestleMania.
So, Joe, you want to make a case for Kevin Steen?
Nah, Kevin Steen had a bad year. Kevin Steen didn't do much this year. Lost the title and, you know.
Come on. We're agreeing too much on this one.
It's a kind of like the tag team answer. I mean, it's just it's very self-evident.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, who are you going to say? Heath Slater?
Like,
three-man bound!
It's like Daniel Bryan had a really good year. I can't think of many other wrestlers who had like great years. Like even like kayfabe or like real life wise, it's like John Cena's year was like kind of mixed.
Yeah, he was
in
hurt
in terms of storyline. He was hurt a lot. AJ Styles in TNA, nobody knows where he's going. He's making his debut for ROH tonight as we're recording this podcast, or his return to ROH.
Ooh,
and ironically, you know where they're doing? He's making his return at ROH.
Where?
The Nashville Fairgrounds, a.k.a. the TNA Asylum, where TNA taped the first few years. Very fitting. Very fitting for ROH's debut at the TNA Asylum. I hope Monty Brown makes a surprise appearance.
Oh, I miss Monty Brown.
If he can get away from his, nieces and nephews?
I would watch ROH on a regular basis. They just changed it to 2003 TNA. New Jack and Shark Boy team up.
Nice.
Shark Boy came back out recently.
He did?
Yeah, yeah.
He got squashed by Ethan Carter.
Yeah,
III.
That's who it was, yeah.
What about Curry Man? Any Curry Man sightings?
No. Christopher Daniels is very entertaining on Impact Wrestling, Appletini drinking.
Yeah, I love
bad influence.
Yeah, he's just drinking an Appletini.
And trolling Joseph Park. Can somebody make a Joseph Park for Wrestler of the Year? He's probably the best wrestler with an identity crisis of gimmick of 2013.
That was weird booking. Yeah. Like, I thought that was going to be a thing they did for like a month or so.
No.
They stretched that out to about 2 years.
Yes, 2 years, because on Impact this week, Joseph Park wrestled Bully Ray, and they said it was 2 years ago Bully Ray wrestled Abyss, and that was the head injury where Joseph Park turned into Abyss turned into Joseph Park, and it was like, they've really just like... over milked this. Like, I think there was a point where Joseph Park revealing he was Abyss would have actually gotten a huge reaction, but at this point, it's just like, whatever.
No shit.
Yeah.
Kind of be so like strange. George Michael coming out as gay.
It's what?
Like, so, yeah, I know.
or maybe if like Paul Lynde had back in the day, like, I'm gay. What? Actually, they're like apparently they're like he was at a party or something, and some lady was like, Paul, why don't you ever find a meet a nice girl and get married?
And his response was,
have you been living in a cave?
People didn't really know what gay was back then. They just thought he was like weird.
He was just
weird.
He was just excitable.
You know. Yeah.
The Village People are just guys in funny costumes, like hanging out at the YMCA.
But to get the wrestling podcast back to the wrestlers,
if you want,
instead of just all the gay jokes. Someone's taking a weird turn.
Bust out my Paul Lynde impression again. But,
come out and listen to wrestling podcast.
There is a smorgasbord, smorgasbord. Anyway, I think AJ Lee actually for female wrestlers could be a contender for Wrestler of the Year. Maybe certainly she definitely was among the women. I mean, she got a really good like anti you know, Total Divas promo, and I mean, you know, her and Natalya have definitely been helping make that division better.
She would definitely, so. You know, if I had to do my create your own award again, she would probably be my award for wrestler who I most want to slurp rancid tuna salad out of their ass.
We're just gonna
all have our goals.
We all have our dreams, Brett.
I'm sure you could pick like a better food. Like,
yeah. Why rancid tuna salad? What's
Well, I'm just saying, she's got such a nice ass, I would slurp anything out of there. If I said pizza, you'd be like, yeah, you'd eat pizza out of anybody's ass.
Well, that's true.
Hell, I'd eat pizza out of Joe's ass.
If I'm picking, like, I'm going to pick pizza out of an ass.
What kind of pizza, though, are we eating out of Joe's ass? Well, I wouldn't eat, like...
Not anchovy.
No. It's like Elio's pizza, maybe not, but...
What about that school pizza?
Nah, it would have to be, like, Totino's.
The knockoff Elio's, like, it's still a square, yeah. But yeah,
no, I'm just saying. If I got a chance to eat something out of somebody's ass, no matter what it was, even if it was rancid tuna salad or a cream of wheat or something I really hate, AJ's ass would be the one.
I would go with cream of wheat just because you're not going to get sick. Except like from the ass. Like,
how did we turn this into a legitimate bit?
You eat ass, you're gonna get some sort of sore.
You know, New Jack had his last shoot interview, which came out in 2013, had the whole preview was about how Terry Runnels liked to eat man ass. She's like, she likes to eat black man ass. She had black man ass.
Give a bunch of wrestlers herpes. That was like his.
That's
whole,
true. I think.
Yeah, that was his big thing.
She gave like Z-Man Tom Zink herpes or something. I don't know.
Oh, Tom Zink. Yeah. I like the story about Tom Zink and Pillman having a threesome, and then the girl left, and they just continued it as a twosome.
What?
Yeah.
That's a precursor to the Lonely Island three-way song.
That's another New Jack thing he talks about where they had like a threesome. They used to be like really open about having threesomes with rats, and then one night the girl just got up and left, and they were just like, well, we're both here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here, you're here.
Just get it warmed up for when she comes back.
I mean, Z-Man and Pillman even look like Andy Samberg and Justin Timberlake in the three-way sketch. Yeah. I think that might be some legit basis in being the basis, the inspiration for that.
Oh, wow. All right, well, we've got all of our awards wrapped up. How about we take a look at the upcoming 2014.
I think what's going to happen is Brett's going to try and eat spaghetti out of AJ Lee's ass, and then CM Punk is going to Anaconda Vice him to death.
To death?
Yeah.
Not the same Anaconda Vice Brian Pillman gave to Tom Zink, allegedly.
At least it's like good spaghetti this time. Like, I'm still just thrown off by the rancid aspect of it. Like, what's,
yeah, like,
okay, fine.
Why keep
fresh,
it refrigerated?
Fresh tuna salad.
Okay, there you go. I can understand that now.
How about seafood salad? That'd be okay.
Well, anyway, if any you know, women's groups are upset by this episode and want to call Brett a male chauvinist,
do you think any women's groups are listening to this?
I don't know.
Or any tuna salad foundations.
Look, this is the...
Chicken of the Sea is pissed.
Yeah.
Brett, don't you see? This is my bro. This is how I find out. So anyway, so... If you think, man, that Brett, what a pig, well, you can come on and you can talk to us about it.
Find out we have like a big following of women and dad members.
Brett's the intergender podcasting champion.
But yes, predictions for 2014.
I'll give them all Boston crabs. Connor, what do you have for 2014?
I don't know how we're going to top this. I think we might. I think people. I don't think anybody's listening after the rancid tuna salad butthole segment. But
I think that's.
And all the talk about man ass.
Two or three guys still listening. I'm just like, yeah, talk about the rancid salad and the butt. Again.
Okay, so Orlando Jordan's probably still listening.
There's not much else going on.
He probably has a Google search for Orlando Jordan going up. It'll pop up in his newsfeed. But so my prediction for 2014, I think 2014, we're going to see another Summer of Punk. His contract expires in July. He doesn't seem particularly happy. I'm not going to say he will or won't resign. I'm honestly leaning towards him taking a Chris Jericho-esque hiatus.
Are we going to see Cena Rock 3?
No.
No, not no. No.
Rocky is injured. I don't think he's coming back for 30. Maybe 31.
Maybe 31.
I think he even said so on
Twitter.
And
he might be doing the new Superman as Doomsday, I guess.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's all kinds. He's got a lot of Like he's the highest paid male actor.
Right.
Like,
I think wrestling.
He's got no reason to come back.
He was like the biggest money making actor of this.
Yeah, he was the top leading man.
Yeah, I think with Punk it'll depend on what happens because actually even with both Batista and Brock Lesnar coming back, he seems to be a good odds on favorite to win the Royal Rumble. So whether that happens or not, I think may determine kind of what happens to him going forward.
All right, who's going to be taking on Undertaker at WrestleMania?
Brock.
Is it going to be Brock?
I think it's
either Brock or Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. I think it could be maybe the Shield even, because he's had some business with them in the past.
I don't think I don't think that. What was that? Five now, Brett?
Four. All right, you need to do five, so then you can be the five time.
I'll try to work one
burping
more up.
Champion.
All right.
No, I just don't think it would do the.
Unless
facing the Undertaker.
Roman Reigns
versus the Undertaker one on one.
Well, no.
My
thinking for it is that Taker. He can still bring it, obviously, and I don't doubt that he will in any match. But it's also he ain't getting any younger, and so it might be a good way to not only showcase them, but they also have some previous business. The last time that he appeared on WWE television, he was slammed through a table by the Shield. So they have some stuff they could set up.
On that note, does the streak end?
No.
I'm going to go on record as saying it's never going to end.
There's talk about having him go against Cena just because that would be the guy that would convince the most of us that he could break the streak because they always book Cena to win everything.
Yeah.
If they put him against, if they put Undertaker and Cena in a match, we would think, oh, they're probably going to end the streak this year, so let's buy Mania and we'll get to see it and everything. So that's the third guy I think he might.
Well, for years, Taker himself has said that if anybody's going to break it, he wanted Kane to break it.
Yeah,
I still don't see that happening either, though.
No, I think Kane's trying to phase himself out to get into politics and stuff.
Yeah. I think he also would.
He is. It's just funny. Just funny.
Isaac Yankum, senator.
Senator Kane.
Senator.
No,
Fred
is
Diesel.
It not true that you set Shane McMahon on fire? Well, that was... you also shocked his genitals.
You were also drunk driving and killed your girlfriend.
and then you had sex with a corpse!
I thought it was Triple H that had sex
Triple H had sex with the corpse.
No, but he accused Kane of having sex.
He accused
with
Kane of
he
having
sex. He was reenacting.
Hello, it's me, Kane! Big freaking machine.
Yeah.
I guess Triple H said later that apparently Vince was right off camera being like, yeah.
Oh yeah, he was like, you really get in there.
Yeah. I just imagine him pumping his fist.
I really don't want to see Brock and Undertaker though, because if Brock and Undertaker have a match, Undertaker that'll be it. That'll be his last match because Brock just fucking beats the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
And they even said they're worried about putting the two together because Brock would have to carry the match. Brock's not in wrestling enough to really carry a match completely on his own. He has to be the big guy that the guys try to, try to take down.
Yeah. It's too bad. Like, back during Lesnar's first run, that would have been a really good match. They had a good match.
They had the Hell in a Cell match is one of my favorites. But,
We were talking about CM Punk being pissed off and all this stuff. A lot of the stuff that's going on with him is because he's so injured and he keeps having to, he's injured and he's also doing a program that he doesn't really like. So it's even harder to work injured if you're not, interested in what you're doing. And he's been injured since he had that match with Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar, wrestles a very aggressive style and beats the fuck out of people.
Yeah. Even the boss.
Yeah. And then he goes back to being Brock Lesnar and sitting there in a big pile of money, and then you have to wrestle
Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, he just sits in a big pile of gold coins.
He just swims in it.
Him and Sable just sit there and
just their diving money. Into the
if you get her too close to the
screaming.
Lamp, her face starts to drip. But that's the thing is he beats the shit out of people and then he takes 6 months off and then the guy that gets the shit beat out of him has to wrestle the next night, and. Fucking Scranton, Pennsylvania, or something. Yeah.
Although, if he is he announced that he's going after the title, so that may prevent a Taker match.
Hopefully,
Taker
needs to go against someone that's smaller than him that can try to overcome the same way that they use Lesnar and the same way they use all the big guys is put him in there with
It might be fun to see a Cena-Taker match. I think it would, you know, that could be interesting. It would probably be a very good one.
It's the only one where I would think that they would possibly break the streak.
If I heard about a Cena-Taker match, I still think Taker would win, but it's more like a 60-40 odds. Like, I mostly think he'd win, but it wouldn't be entirely sure. Whereas everybody else, it's
I'd
like
still
99.
Say 70-30.
Like, last WrestleMania, we watched Punk and Taker, and like I don't think anybody thought he was going to end the streak. Like everyone knew Punk was going to lose,
and nobody thought Triple H was going to win either. The
Triple H match that went when it became 20-0, I kind of thought he might, just because it would stop him from going 20-0, and because it was Triple H and he's an asshole. Like, he would do that. He would write himself to win and break the streak, and then just
I'm
go back.
The
and
man
then,
that broke the streak.
I mean, if we're talking like backstage speculation type stuff, I know Taker apparently from back in the day was one of the few guys who was not having any of the Clicks shit. So he
true.
Like, I think he would have maybe disagreed.
He was
with that.
Yeah. Supposedly Taker was demanded Shawn Michaels' job to Steve Austin. He was like, "You're not like Shawn Michaels hemming and hawing, even though he was near crippled at the time.
Yeah.
Jobbing to Steve Austin, and he physically couldn't be the champion, but they had to have Taker be like, go out there and lay down for Austin.
Yeah, because he was the BSK.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I mean, I think the thing with the Punk Taker match is I really thought that he might have been the one to end it until Paul Bearer died, and there was the whole angle,
which was
a good angle, but it's also like you're like not gonna have the guy go on TV and slather himself with Paul Bearer's ashes and then break the streak. Like
when he was doing the Heisman pose with the fucking that was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Funny.
That's my highlight of 2013.
All right, real
with a pretend dead man under his arm doing a Heisman pose in the ring.
All right, we got time for one more prediction. I'm just gonna go around ask you guys who has a breakout year in 2014. Connor,
I think it's pretty obvious. I think. I already talked about EC3, so I'll say Roman Reigns is kind of the obvious guy in WWE.
Adam.
I think hopefully Daniel Bryan even more, in the sense that he actually gets a good title run.
Even more. Joe.
I think you guys have already said the two people I was going to say, so I'm going to go with whatever Consequences Creed is called right now.
Oh, you're not going to go
Xavier
with Darren
Woods?
Young?
No. Xavier Woods.
Xavier Woods.
I mean, Darren Young, I mean, there's a conspiracy theory that he came out of the closet to get, like, more push, because at the time, like,
I'm going to say pussy.
More push, yeah.
It works. Like, I know.
It does work. I know.
That's
yeah.
weird.
I remember, like, a week or two before he came out of the closet there, Darren Young was a little bit banged up, and he was afraid of
I bet he was.
Yeah, banged up by man ass.
Waka waka.
Eating rancid tuna. No, but he was a bit. He was okay.
That's
number
five.
Five times.
It counts.
It counts.
It's like Hulk Hogan's fifth title run when he beat Yokozuna at WrestleMania 9.
It still counts.
Anyways, and that's his sixth title run when he got dragged behind a motorcycle by Undertaker.
Oh God.
Yep.
Anyways, Darren Young, he was on the supposedly he was afraid of getting time off. Right before he came out.
There we go. Okay.
He was afraid of getting time off.
I love that you lean away to cough.
Yeah.
Like, you'll lean away to cough, but then you'll just erupt into the mic with burps.
Well, that's not good. Yeah. That's not good audio. Burps are solid gold.
I would like to think that that's not the case with Darren Young.
Yeah, I don't think
it
was. But apparently he was afraid of taking time off before because he was afraid they were going to break up the primetime players and Titus O'Neil would get a big push and he would get in the background, which has actually sort of happened even with him coming out of the closet. Titus O'Neil's done a bunch of solo segments and they really haven't done anything with Darren.
I still like Darren Young if he would just play the Black John Cena. And just come out and they would have like, they could be a tag team and they could dress the same. And it would just be like they could come out to Michael Jackson's Black or White, and that would be
Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder.
I need to get in there and start booking. Book him to the top with Joe Timmons. Just dress up the black guy like a white guy and the white guy like a black guy.
Crap. All right. Well, that's all we got time for today. That was our WrestleMania Best of 2013 show. Next show is going to be, let's see if we can get it in time. That's what she said. A Royal Rumble preview. So hopefully we can do that, guys. So for everybody here at WrestleMania, all we got to do this all together, right? Keep on wrestling.
Daddy.
One.